every soul that needs to be saved. You might be asking, can Christ save me? Can he give me this gift of eternal life? Turn me from being dead, dry wood, living in vanity, heading to be burned? Can the Lord give me this life? Yes, he can. He's got the power and the life, the sufficiency to do it. And when we become united to Christ, he feeds every soul. He satisfies the heart of every Christian, every believer, every church ministry. He hears and answers the prayers of every mother, every Christian father. He hears the prayers of Sunday school teachers for the needy boys and girls they teach. He meets the need of the missionary on the mission field to the needy of the world. This is the one who said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, minister of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. What is it about words of testimony when Christians tell the story of their own conversion? Well, it updates the gospel to the present day. Here now is a living, real Christian who is personifying and living out the salvation and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the 21st century. We are sometimes inclined to revert everything back to that first century when Christ was on the earth, when the New Testament church was established, when the apostles were suffering for Christ and planting churches at great cost. But the work of the gospel goes on today, and there are men and women, some who serve full-time, some who serve God in the local church, and they are living sacrifices, living out the power of the gospel in their daily lives. And so today again, we turn to another testimony by Robert Julian. And this is the story of one who intended to be a Roman Catholic missionary, but was brought to the realization of his own need, saved by grace. And so stay tuned as we come to that today. But firstly, John 15, I am the true vine. All the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this participation, it makes sense of some great Bible texts like Galatians 2:20, where Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, in doctrinal terms and theological terms, you can wrestle and struggle with Galatians 2:20 for a long time. But this passage just, it pictures it for us. It's a visual aid. It enables us to see that by the cross, I am crucified with Christ. I'm united to him. And the life that I now live, it's no longer the old life of self. It's no longer the old me. It's a new life. It is the life of Christ, and it is his life flowing in my life. So what I'm doing in his strength. I'm doing in his power, at his direction. And thereby we pray that the Lord is working and producing fruit in our lives. Another verse that it answers to is that text, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That verse puzzled me for a long time. It's a puzzling verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. To do that, you're really saying, I'm a branch, and the Lord is the vine. And out of my union to the Lord, his grace, his power, flows into my life. That's transforming. That is absolutely, miraculously transforming. And if you're living the life of a branch united to Christ, you will have his life flowing into your life. By this participation, we are never alone. We are the channels of the Lord. And again, I'm back to the difference between a source and a channel. The source, well, it has all responsibility. It must produce everything. It must have the program. It must have the mind and the wisdom and the fullness to produce this. The channel just lets it flow. The channel has no strength, no comprehension of the end from the beginning. The channel just lets it flow. And that's what we do as participants with the Lord Jesus. Now, in the history of the church, some people have come up with that catchy phrase, which they've turned into a maxim of Christian life, let go and let God. Have you ever heard that? Let go and let God. Well, don't let go of truth. Don't let go of the gospel. Don't let go of things that the Lord commands, but do let God. That's the life of the branch. We're to let God work in our lives. Do you pray that way? Do you spend time in prayer and say, Lord, here am I. Work your will in me. Let your purpose, your life, be worked out in me. I'm just the conduit. I'm just the channel. Lord, let your life flow into mine, and I will be the channel. Now, that means that you're asking the Lord to lead you. Lead me. Lead my footsteps. Guide my decisions. And then let him fill you. You know, you're going to pray all of this. You're going to say, Lord, I need you to guide me. I need to know your will. But then, Lord, I need the power to do it. And this is not a self-help program. This is the branch life for the Christian. Lord, I'm praying for your will. And I believe if I'm in your will, that you'll give me the power, the grace, the Holy Spirit's anointing to do your will. And that might mean stepping out into tasks that you normally wouldn't do. Because you might say in your loneliness, not thinking of the union between the branch and the vine, thinking of that being separate, you might say, well, I could never do that. I could never serve God in that way. I don't have the capability. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the power. But when you see your life as a channel, you say, Lord, with you, all things are possible. When your power is flowing in my life, I have to leave the outcome and the work to you. Just flow in me. And you ask God to use you. And you literally step out on the promises. And you believe on the Lord. Now, would that be a good summary of your life? You're stepping out on the promises. Is that the basis in which you're living your Christian life and testimony? God has made certain wonderful, glorious promises in this book. And really all I'm doing is I'm stepping out on the promises. And I'm trusting God for the outcome. Young people, your life's ahead of you. Career, Christian service, it's all ahead of you. Are you stepping out on the promises? Or are you saying, oh no, I could never do that. I dare not even try that. The life of the vine, the branch in the vine, is the life that says, well, as the Lord leads me, and as he gives me the grace and the power to do, I'm willing for the will of God. That's the surrender that the branch life takes in this scene. Also, by this participation comes the secret of tranquility in the Christian life. I love that word, tranquility. It sort of reminds me of sitting by a little stream, and there's the water bubbling and babbling over the rocks, and it's just pastoral, rural, and there's not an interference. What a beautiful sight to be tranquil. I believe Jesus wants his people to have that peaceful life, that life of peace. That doesn't mean a life of ease and a life of laziness where you're always just watching water babble over rocks. But I believe that there is underlying every testimony of a Christian, the one who is living in union, in faith with Christ, there is an underlying peace. I believe the Lord Jesus had that when he was on earth. If ever one had a toughest mission ever imaginable, it was Christ, the Son of God. And he said this, that he was come not to do his own will, but the will of the Father. All the way to the cross, in suffering, even in Gethsemane, even in the judgment hall where his tormentors put that crown of thorns upon his brow, there was underlying the life of our Lord Jesus, a peace with God. He was in the will of God. And we know that the Father sent angels to minister to him in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know that the Father strengthened him. We know that the Holy Spirit was with him, even on the cross. There's a verse in Hebrews that talks about through the eternal Spirit, he offered up himself to God. And so in that hour of crisis and judgment and of wrath upon his own person, there was the underlying ministry of the Spirit of God in the life of our Lord Jesus. Sometimes, and indeed often, God asks Christians to do very difficult things. Things that we would not choose ourselves. We would run. But the Lord gives us, in the midst of our crosses and losses, he gives us that tranquility, that peace. There's a point where you just let go and you say, Lord, you've got to do the work. You've got to do it, Lord. You've got to take over. I recognize I'm not in control, and I'm just handing the whole matter over to the Lord. Is that not what Peter meant when he said, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you? It means to roll your burden over onto the Lord. And if we are branches, we do that. And we said, Lord, I'm a branch. I'm depending on you. And I'm praying that your love, your Spirit, your grace flows through me. Now, this participation makes the Christian life meaningful. Every aspect of the Christian life becomes meaningful because it's all about fruit for the Father. What's my life for? Why am I enduring this? Why is there the cold and the frost of winter? Why is there the heat of summer? Why am I enduring these things? The will of the Father is that I bring forth much fruit. And all that you do is done with all the dignity of Christ behind it. Just as the branch. The branch is not independent. It's not boasting of itself. But yet it has all the dignity of the vine. The life of the vine is flowing into the branch. The health of the vine is in the branch. That foliage, those budding fruit, it's all because of what's coming from the vine. And when we live as Christians, as branches in the vine in Christ, every aspect of our life now takes on a dignity as a Christian. We do all things in his name, through his strength, and at his direction. And there's work for us all. There's not a twig, there's not a tendril in the vine that doesn't have to part in bearing fruit for the Lord. Sometimes God works in little providences in my life. I suppose behind the curtains of preaching, I was thinking on these things and woke up, I think it was Thursday morning or Friday morning, and my devotional that morning, and I read the sermons of a man called George Morrison. They're on eSword if you want to get them. And every morning I read one of his sermons. And the text was, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might unto the Lord. And he talked about an acquaintance of his name became Lord Kelvin, you know, the man who gave us the thermometer or the Fahrenheit, Celsius, Kelvin, and so on. He was a scientist. He was a bit of an entrepreneur.
He, at the age of 26, returned to Glasgow and became the head of the Natural Philosophies Department of the university. He was honored for being the head of the program to get the first line of communication from Europe to America, and he was honored by the Queen for that work. But it was said of Lord Kelvin that he could keep an army of people busy. There were scientists, engineers, writers, secretaries, people, inventors, and cleaners, and he could keep an army of people busy with all his ideas and all his attempts at advancing knowledge. The Lord Jesus is like that. And he has a place for every one of us in his kingdom work. His business is to bear fruit for the Father's glory. And you have a part in it. You have a work to do. And this taking the life of a branch in the vine gives you a part in the great kingdom work of advancing the church of the Lord Jesus. And so I say to you, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. This is not a life of laziness becoming a branch. This is a life of production. This is a life of blooming and blossoming and bearing fruit for the Savior. But it is the life of the branch, not taking the place of the vine. Now I come then to the practical value of Christ's life flowing into us. There's the value of doing all in Jesus' name. And what a wonder we're allowed to use the name of the Lord Jesus. Now note how this comes. In Colossians 3:15, we're told, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and then whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And it's abiding in Christ, abiding in the Lord's word, and then do whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And so the branch strives and does everything through the sustaining grace and life of the vine. And so to plead the life of the vine, it brings the branch right into right proportions. It brings us into the place we ought to be in practical value. Your own work, however little, will be valuable. You remember how the Lord Jesus talked about some fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I'm not sure where to put the little fruit that we have, but it's all precious, it's all meaningful, and it's all marked. And the ministry which God has given you will be important to you and to God. There is no such thing as living apart from bearing fruit for the Lord. Missionaries, parents, doctors, nurses, farmers, office workers, whatever your call in life may be, your commission is to bear fruit for the Savior. And there will be value in the work that we do. Something else I'd like to point out. Not only will we value the fruit in our own lives or the testimony the Lord gives us individually, but we'll also value the fruit of other Christians. Think of each branch in the vine. And here's a branch on the left viewing over a branch on the right. And here's this branch on the right. It's way down with fruit. It's loaded. And the branch over here is struggling in the heat of the day to bear its fruit. And it looks over and sees the bloom on this and the fruit it's bearing. Well, what's going on in the life of this vine? Is it filled with envy, jealousy, pride? No, the branch in the vine will say, look what the vine's doing over there. Look at the glory that is to the husbandman. Look at the fruit that's being born and rejoices in it. And so here is the picture of many branches, one vine, many Christians, many ministries, all bearing gospel fruit. And there ought to be fellowship and ought to be delight in valuing one another's work. And then, well, I'm not sure if this is a conclusion or a preparation for tonight's sermon, we begin to value the need to abide in Christ. If ye abide in me, and I in you. If, there's the big if. And so much of the Christian living is really about how do I abide in Christ, that I might live the branch life and that I might bear much fruit. If I don't abide in him, I am told that I will produce nothing. And so I will just ask you the question in the close of this morning service. Are you abiding in Christ? I'm not asking you, are you a Christian? I think that's a separate question. Maybe not. Maybe it's more the same question than we would think. But I do think it's possible to have a clear profession of salvation and be justified and neglect the need to abide in Christ as we should. I think that we need to take a very close look at the reason for the dissatisfaction that you may feel in your Christian life, the lack of joy that you express, the lack of victory that you have, and the little fruit we produce, and ask, is it because I ought to be abiding more in Christ? Now, as I mentioned, tonight's sermon is going to be on motivations and methods of abiding in Christ. Ye all come back now, ye hear. You must come back. If you don't come back, I'll have to pray for you. And I pray that God will lead us all to abide. And in abiding, that our Father will be glorified through the fruit that he wills and he works in our life. I chose to become not only a Roman Catholic priest, but more than that, a Roman Catholic missionary priest. The reason was that I wanted to do great exploits for God. I thought that by being a missionary in some faraway land and learning a strange language and strange customs would indeed be a great adventure, and I even entertained the thought that perhaps I might be chosen by God to suffer and die a martyr's death for the cause of Christ. Such were my thoughts during the long years of study in the seminary, as I prepared myself to become a missionary of the Roman Catholic Foreign Mission Society of America. Looking back upon those years, I can now recognize the real motive behind it all. What I was really seeking was God's approval and an assurance in my heart that I would make the grade and be worthy to enter God's heaven when I died. I had no real peace in my heart all those years, even during my 10 years as a missionary priest in Tanzania, East Africa. Just as Adam hid his nakedness behind fig leaves, so did I constantly strive to hide my spiritual nakedness behind fig leaves of religious and missionary activities. It gives me no pleasure to recall the years of my past. It was so very shameful. I was such a sinful person and so hypocritical. Some might say that I did much good for those African people, building schools for their children, providing medicines for their sicknesses, and teaching them religion. But today, I know that all those so-called good deeds were but filthy rags in God's sight. I was a poor, lost sinner in deep need of God's salvation, and did not realize it. I thought I was somehow already saved by the fact that I was a Roman Catholic, for I truly believed that all Roman Catholics were saved the moment they received the sacrament of baptism. How I regret those wasted years, years in which I did not know the true God nor his Son, the true Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How deceived I was to believe that I could merit heaven by my good deeds and my priestly and missionary labors. I was 37 years old when the God of the Bible revealed himself to me. How free and how beautiful were his grace and mercy towards me. He pardoned all my sins. He gave me a peace in my heart that truly satisfied my every longing. In a moment of time, I was changed, radically changed, inside my being. Indeed, I was born anew, born of God of heaven himself. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3, verse 3. From all eternity, God had chosen me to be his. That is why he intervened the way he did in my life and put a stop to my headlong plunge towards hell. Yes, that is exactly where I was headed, even as a missionary priest. I was on my way to a fiery hell, forever separated from a loving God. He showed me what I was under my pious exterior. I was a vile sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, saved me by his grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4, 8, and 9. I was so happy to discover that God's salvation is a gift. I thank God every day for his unspeakable gift. And what a wonderful thing to be saved by grace, by faith alone, and through Christ alone. That's the gospel of salvation as a gift, not of works. And if today you are seeking to work your way to heaven, you're seeking to add something that will bring payment or bring some performance of help to God to save you, it can't be done. It will drive you to distraction and you'll lose your soul. You need salvation by faith that is the gift of God so that he has all the glory. You humble yourself to his provision, his saving power through Christ at the cross. And by that means you are saved God's way. Now this book that I've been reading from is called Far From Rome, Near to God, published by Banner of Truth Trust. And I hope that these words of testimony are of personal help to you. Stay tuned now for these closing announcements. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and I want to tell you about our Bible conference coming up here in our church in Cloverdale, November 4 to 6, that's Friday to Sunday, with the Reverend Colin Mercer as our preacher, who is our minister in Greenville, South Carolina. And he's coming to preach on revival, prayer, and preaching, and how much we need revival in this land, that the Lord may revive his church and his people. So join us on these dates, November 4 to 6. Now go to the website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you'll get all the details. You'll also learn about our church ministry, 9:30 for the Sunday school hour, 10 o'clock, 10:30 for the morning service, and 6 p.m. for the evening service. You'll also be able to join there by webcast from your own computer at those times as we worship the Lord here in our church. And of course, we invite you to come along and join with us. Bring your family, your friends, to hear the glorious message of the gospel that Jesus saves even the worst of sinners. If you love souls, bring them along to hear the gospel. Our listeners in Victoria, you're invited to come along to the Free Presbyterian Church Sundays at 11:06 to hear the Reverend Julian Patterson, and he'll be preaching there each Sunday. So come along as he ministers the Lord's word and stands for the gospel. It's important that God's people stand for Christ and enter into the ministry of the gospel week by week. So you're invited, and I trust that you'll be there each Sunday, 11:06 at 733 Van Alman Avenue. Please remember the website. You'll get all the information. That's www.cloverdalefpc.ca. Thank you for joining with us. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. May the Lord bless you through his word.